I can hum while I'm working on it. I really am humming. I didn't realize that until just now. I want you to be able to hear me. Bible makes clear that God has provided salvation. We'll just forget it, Danny. And he has sought for that which is lost. And he's still seeking, like I'm saying. He wants you to be saved. That's what the Bible talks about, being saved, salvation, being converted from our sin. And notice what it says in verse 8 of chapter 15 of the book of Matthew. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. They say they know me. They say they love me. They say it. But notice, and honoreth me with their lips. They talk about the Lord. But their heart is far from me. Our brother Paul says in Titus, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. It is easy to say, yes, I'm saved and I know the Lord. But experiencing and possessing salvation may be something completely different. I ask you this morning, do you know for sure that you're saved? 1 John talks about that he has written these things that we may know, that we may know that we are believers. God wants us to have a know-so salvation. That's what I'm trying to preach on this morning, know-so salvation. I was intrigued, I suppose is a good word, to hear the songs that were sung this morning. Both of them talking about him seeking, him coming, him trying to reach out to those who are lost. I deal this morning with salvation, being saved. I want to ask you a question. Where did all this come from? I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about universe. It came from somewhere. Where do you believe it came from? Or do you believe it evolved? Well, you can if you want to. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God, that's where we have to start. When we're talking about salvation, we must begin with God. Not with man, but with God. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God. But it doesn't stop there. He says, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, everything you see, God created. Now, that's what the Bible says. You don't have to believe it, but if you want to be right, you better. The Bible says, we don't know God unless he reveals himself. He manifests himself. And anything you know about God, you know it because he showed it to you. He revealed it to you. And this Bible that we have this morning is God's revelation. It is what he has told us about himself, listen, and his will for us. And the Bible is very clear about what the Lord is saying about himself in reference to salvation. It starts with the fact that he made everything, and therefore everything that he has made is accountable to him. If he is the creator, we are accountable to him. That's why the schools and so many now say that we evolve. That excludes God and gets us off the hook if they're right. But if they're wrong, we're in trouble. And that's why we need to realize the importance of believing the truth. You see, when we talk about man and the fact that man used to fellowship with God and that fellowship has been broken by Adam's sin, We always think about the effect on man, but what about the effect on God? It broke his heart when Adam and Eve sinned. That fellowship was broken after all he had done for them, and they did what they did to him. But it wasn't just Adam and Eve, it's me and you. Got news for us. If it hadn't been you in the garden, you'd have done the same thing. So would have I. And I say this morning that we have a God in heaven who's interested in mankind. He's interested in you. Just like he loved Adam and Eve, he loves you. Just like he had a desire to walk with them in the midst of the garden, he has a desire to fellowship and to know you and you to know him. That's what the Bible says. Now, we don't have to believe that, but if we want to be right, we better believe it. This book tells us about a God who loves us. I got a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Listen, I hope you do, but you don't have to. You can believe anything you want to, but you better be right in what you believe. I can jump on the highway when I leave church and head north and say, I'm heading to Charlotte. And I can ride down the road and say, man, I'm making good time. But if I go north, I got to drive a long way before I finally get around to Charlotte. In fact, I ain't going to make it. And me thinking I'm right doesn't make me right. And me thinking I'm doing good along the way doesn't help me get there any faster. In fact, I will not make it to Charlotte, no matter what I believe, no matter what I think. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're wanting to get to heaven, you'll go God's way or you won't go there. It starts with God. Salvation begins with him, not with us. Well, what about God? I say first, he is a God who demands rightly. Now, I can command you and order you, and I don't have a foot to stand on because I have no control over you. I have no issue. I have no authority over you. I do not have the right to demand you to do anything, but God does. If he created it all, he has a right to tell his creation what he expects from them. He is a God who demands rightly. The Bible talks about commandments, not suggestions or requests. God commands because he has the right to command because he is God and he is very God. And we are under his authority. He is a God who rightly demands. And here's what he demands from mankind. Are you ready? He says, you better be perfect. You better be holy. You better be flawless. For I am a God who is so holy, I cannot accept anything less than holiness. You doubt that? The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Leviticus 27 says, be ye holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's just a few examples of the fact where God says to mankind, all of mankind, you must be holy. I can't accept anything else than perfection. The problem is, I'm not perfect, and I'm not holy. But the God who made me and the God who made everything is holy, and he cannot accept anything less than holiness. So he says, you be holy or you're in trouble. You be perfect or you're in trouble. He is a God who demands rightly. He rightly demands what he expects from mankind. You see, the problem is this. He is so holy, he can't ignore sin. He can't sweep it under the rug and pretend it isn't there. He doesn't grade on the curve. Boy, I used to appreciate that when I was in school. You really got a 60, but somehow they give you a 70. God does not grade on the curve. He does not fudge the final line. When he says, you be holy or else, he means it. So he says, to unholy people, you must be holy. He demands, he rightly demands. And he has to. I say it again, he cannot ignore sin. He cannot pretend that it doesn't happen. I got a question. Would you like that to happen in your life or in your experience now if it happens to us? And God says, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. When we've done something wrong, we like that. But I got another instance. If somebody murdered your mama and they found out who did it, and he admits to it, I murder her and I do it again and I don't care. And he stands before a judge. And that judge says, oh, let's let him go. He had a bad childhood. We're going to let him go. How you feel about that judge? Good judge, bad judge, bad judge. And the judge of the universe is a good judge. And he cannot let sin go by unpunished. So far, we are in a bad place. For the God who made us and is so holy tells us to be holy, but we're not holy. But he's a God who rightly demands. And he is so holy that he cannot overlook sin. And therefore, we who are sinners are condemned in his sight. That's why the Bible says he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's why Jesus himself said, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You ain't going to go to heaven. But the wrath of God abideth on him. God is so holy when he sees sin in the life of man. He is not only grieved, but he's angry. The Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. He's too holy to be otherwise. And the Bible says that those who are not believers have the wrath of God abiding on them. It is as though it's hovering over your head. They're present all the time. I say this morning, God is a God who rightly demands. And the Bible says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Some say, I think I'm a pretty good person. And you may be. Some say, I don't do near as bad as others, and maybe you don't. But I promise you one thing. You have done one thing bad since you've been born. And the Bible says, which is what God said, we believe it or not. But here's what he said. I hope you believe it. He said, if we do the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of it all. It's like breaking a pane of glass. You break just the very corner of it, you broke the whole thing. And I got a question. If you are hanging over fire by a chain with 10 links, and 9 of those links are made of metal that would hold 1,000 pounds, but one of those links is made of cardboard, are you going to be safe or are you going to be in trouble? Hey, we can say, I have done so many good things, and you may be right. I have kept so many rules, and you may be right, but I promise you one thing. You have broken one law. You have done one thing wrong. And the Bible says that's all it takes, because God is so holy that one wrong violates his law. So you're a lawbreaker, and you're guilty. I say this morning, are you saved? Do you know it? I'm looking at God. It starts with God. Salvation does. He's a God who rightly demands, but he also is a God who reaches down. Amen. I'm glad he does. Had he not reached down, I'd still be heading to hell. Maybe there already. That holy God, that righteous God, that just God is also a loving God. And since we can't get to him, he has to come to us. And he does. Look around you, you see people who have been found by him. We were sheep lost and heading to hell. And we could not, hey, you know what lost is? You don't know where you're at and you don't know how to get out of there. But he came seeking. He came down. He's a God who reaches down. Exodus 34 verse 6 says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. He's a merciful God. He's a long-suffering God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a judge. He's holy. But he's kind and compassionate, loving and caring. And where his justice says, let them go to hell, they deserve it. His love says, no, I just got to go down. I just got to go and help them. I got to go pay the price because they can't pay it themselves. And that's what God did. He sent his son. He came down. The Bible says in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Boy, you've wept beside a grave. God's wept beside many of them. Not just because they're going to be missed, but because they went to hell when they didn't have to. He's grieved by those who go to hell when he's paid the price to keep them out of hell. He's grieved when somebody dies without his son. He's a loving God. He not only is a God who rightly demands, but he's a God who reaches down. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. He wants everybody saved, including you. The salvation that God provides is not a limited provision. It's not just for a select few or just a chosen through few. It is for the world. It's for the sin of all the world, and that includes you. I say God loves you, and he wants you saved. He wants you forgiven. He wants you in heaven. But you'll go his way or you won't go. I hope you believe that, because it's so. If you don't believe that, I say kindly, you're wrong. And one day too late, you'll find out how wrong you were. I say first, he's a God who rightly demands. He's also a God who reaches down. Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do the will of my own will, but the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I came down. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent his Son down. The Son came down and came all the way to the cross to pay the debt that I owe. I was like a criminal. So were or are you? My sin demanded justice and payment. I was guilty and helpless in handling my case. But the one who loved me came and paid the price that I owed. It's like a guilty criminal being sentenced to life imprisonment. And someone, for some reason, perhaps for love's sake, says, I love them so much, I want to serve their sentence for them. I want to pay their price. And if that person who is guilty accepts the offer, they go free while the other person pays the sentence. And that's what Jesus did. He was not guilty. He was perfect, still is. He was without flaw, without sin. He owed no debt whatsoever to the Father. But I did and you did. And Jesus came down, listen, came down and paid my debt for me. And paid my sentence, being a guilty sinner. He died. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. The sentence of sin is death. Jesus died for me. He died as me. He died in my place and yours. I hope you believe that. Why did he die if it wasn't for sinners? Was it just some mean men who hated him so much that they killed him? Some people believe that, but they're wrong. He came down. He reached down and took our sin on him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He took our sin on him. And now when we come to him, he puts his righteousness in us. And that's why I get to go to heaven. He is a God. I'm talking about no so salvation. Do you know for sure you're saved? I hope so. It means that God is a God who rightly demands. He's a God who reaches down. But I say this lastly, he's a God who remembers denial. 2 Timothy 2:12. Listen, if we deny him in this life, right now, he also will deny us when we stand before him. He remembers denial. When you stand before God, as all of us one day will, he will remember then your life in this world right now. And if you deny him now, when you stand before him, he will remember that. He's not going to ignore it. He's not going to say, now I know you didn't accept my son, but we're going to let it slide. Oh no, his son's the only way. There's only one way of forgiveness. There's only one way of salvation. And we accept God's way or we don't go to heaven. He's a God who remembers denial. To deny means to reject. Just to say no. You do not have to curse God and shake your fist in his face and say, I don't want anything to do with you, God, to reject him. All you got to do is turn and walk away. And you're rejecting him in the process. And there's a whole lot of people who are good kind of people and moral kind of people who are denying God and rejecting God every day of their lives. And they're not cursing and swearing and living in filth. They're just, listen, not accepting the Son. Not accepting God's only way of forgiveness and only way of salvation. And when that person stands before the God I'm talking about this morning, that God will remember that person's life and know and search through the life and say, there wasn't a time when you accepted my son. There wasn't a time when you got saved. There wasn't a time when you admitted your condition and repented of your sin and believed on my son. And because you denied him then, I must deny you now. We'll stand before the Lord. The lost souls will stand before Jesus himself and says, he'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. He will remember denial. He remember the fact that you didn't get saved. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He said, unless you're saved, you can't even see heaven. You can't even see the family. You can't even see. You're not going. And by the way, God is the one in charge. Now, I'll just be honest. If it was me, I'd let it slide a little bit. And if, at the worst, at the very least I could do, I'd plug up hell, put out the fire. But I'm not God. God says hell is forever. You say, I don't agree with that. That's your prerogative. You don't have to believe it. I promise you one thing. If you don't believe it now, one day you will. There, that hell is full of believers. In fact, there's no one in hell who isn't a believer. They all believe in hell now. They all believe in Calvary now. They all believe in sin now. They all believe in their condition as a sinner when they were walking this earth now, but it's too late. He'll remember then, denial now. Those who say no to his son, he'll remember it. And there comes a time when God says, I've spoken to you as much as I'm going to. If he doesn't speak to your heart, you cannot be saved. You won't even want to be saved. The only reason anybody is here saved is because Jesus came down, was killed or died on the cross and rose again. And then later the Holy Spirit, who is God, came down and convicted them of their sin. And they said yes to God. And they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and got saved. And that's the only way. That's the only way. That's the only way that God says, I'll accept him. And since he's the creator and he also is God and he also is the Lord of salvation, what he says goes. He's right. If we believe anything else, we're wrong. If we trust anything else, we're wrong. I've got a question. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong about what you believe? I choose to believe this book because I believe it, number one. But I found it to work. I've got evidence in my life. I've got evidence sitting in pews right now that this book is the truth and it works. And what God says is the truth. So I ask you this morning, do you know him as your personal Savior? I said it already. Unless he speaks to you, you can't be saved. But what if he says, I'm not going to speak to them anymore? God himself said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I've called and they hadn't listened, and I called and they resisted, and I called and they ignored me. Why in the world should I keep calling? They're not going to listen to me. There came a time when Noah, he preached for 120 years, and the ark was complete and the door was open. And Noah and his family went into the ark, and for a week that door stayed open with Noah and his family in the ark. But there came a time when God shut the door. The whole 120 years was an open invitation to anybody who was lost to accept the way of forgiveness. But that last week was God's last call. And when the door was shut, they came running when it started raining. They started screaming to Noah, let me in, let me in. They pounded at the door. I believe they beat their fingers and clawed the side of that ark until they bled. But Noah could not open the door, and God would not open the door. And I want to tell you one thing, there's going to be millions. There's going to be many who fall on their face before God and beg for one more chance. But he'll say, depart from me. I didn't know you. I gave you chance, and I gave you chance, and I gave you chance, and you denied me. And I was your Savior then, but I'm your judge now. That's what the Bible says. You believe that? I hope you do. But if you don't, you're wrong. He remembers denial. He remembers what you're doing now. There came a time when God says, I just give them up. I'm going to quit speaking, quit talking. And that's why these words, listen closely. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Why those words are so important. Because the God who made it all says there's one way to get to my heaven. And you won't get there if you don't go my way. And he says if I don't speak to you, if I don't draw you, you don't get saved. So if he's speaking to you this morning at all, please listen. You may be a member of this church. You may have been here for years. You may have an active position here. I don't care. I'm asking you, do you know you're saved? Do you have a know-so salvation? If you don't, sure would be a good day to get it settled. I wonder, is the door closing today? I'll be honest. I could have stirred this thing up just a little bit in the right way. Not even had to preach this morning. Been easy. But I thought, boy, Lord, this is the morning. This is the time for this message. Because there's some people here who need it. And you're the one. I believe there's more than one, but I believe you're the one. I'm talking about you. You're the one that God put this message on my heart for. He is warning you one more time the importance of being saved and being ready for the afterlife. Let's stand together. As bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you're saved and you know it, please pray.